So hey there, guys. Welcome back to Accelerated Real Estate Investor with Josh Cantwell. Today, I am interviewing a relatively new friend of mine. His name is George O'Brien. He's the owner and CEO of ProgressivePropertyInvestments.com. He was an accomplished senior executive for the YMCA. A lot of you guys might have grown up going to the Y to swim and play basketball. He was an executive at the Y, and he took his expertise being a senior executive and use that to begin investing in real estate at 36 years old. Today he's 41 years old. He's fully retired from his portfolio. He owns over 400 units of multifamily. His experience in spearheading those strategic initiatives in the YMCA and working with multiple people is some of the skill sets that he's used to focus on building his portfolio and being a leader of a team of partners, of contractors, of vendors, of community leaders, for brokers and private investors to help him build a bigger, stronger community and a bigger, better portfolio. Today with George, we're going to talk about a few things. Number one, we're going to talk about what it takes to convert from residential investing to multifamily and how to acquire your first multifamily property. Number two, we're going to talk about why it's okay to focus on deals that are smaller, why it's okay to focus on deals that are under 75 units, and why that's an easy place to build wealth going direct to seller. We're going to talk about George's favorite strategy to find deals, which is direct to seller, number three. Number four, we're going to talk about why George wishes he started earlier. He mentions this several times in the interview. I wish I started earlier. I wish I started earlier. I wish I started earlier. You're going to hear that. And lastly, number five, you're going to hear about George and his concept of live where you want and invest where it makes sense. And George is going to tell you about his journey of relocating from Pittsburgh to the beaches of Florida and how he's able to raise his family and go to the beach nearly every day. George actually tells the story about how he's able to walk to the beach. He knows exactly how many steps it takes. It takes exactly 51 steps for him to go from his front door to the beach and how he was able to retire at a very young 41 years old. You're going to love this interview on Accelerated Real Estate Investor with me and George O'Brien. Here we go.
Welcome to the Accelerated Investor Podcast with Josh Cantwell. If you're looking to retire early with forever passive income, you're in the right place. This podcast is the go-to destination for real estate investors, both active and passive, and multifamily apartment investors, both new, intermediate, and advanced. Now, sit back, listen, learn, and accelerate your business, your life, and your investing with the Accelerated Investor Podcast.
So, hey, George, listen, I'm so excited to have you on Accelerated Real Estate Investor. Thanks so much for jumping on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Hey, listen, George, I always like to, especially when I meet a new guest, somebody that I'm introduced to, refer to like you and have you on the show to talk about your investing strategies. I'm always curious to see what people are up to right now in today's market, a project that they're working on, you know, their latest and greatest investment. So tell us a little bit more about what you have cooking.
Yeah. So, you know, typically been staying in the multifamily, a small commercial, jumping into something outside of our comfort zone. We have a 97 unit RV park under contract here in Florida. Super excited about that. It's first one in our portfolio and third in my partner's portfolio. Doing a cash out refi. It's one of our business models. We're doing a cash out refi. And it'll reduce our monthly mortgage payment and give us about, you know, $600,000 of resources to reinvest in some other markets and other real estate. And I have about 110 units under contract to close here in the next 2 months across three nice. Different deals. Yeah. So we're busy. Nice.
Fantastic stuff. That's exciting. I know, George, your focus has been on the smaller multifamily stuff, you know, stuff we talked about before we started recording. You know, anywhere from 2 units to really 40 units, kind of a sweet spot in that 20 to 25 unit range. And I know you're also looking at some larger assets, but you guys had a lot of success with the smaller apartments, smaller multifamily. Tell us a little bit about that. You know, tell us a bit more about how you got into it. Has it always been the focus, or were you doing other residential investments first and then started buying some cash flow deals? And I guess I'm interested to hear this from your perspective, because there's a lot of people in our audience who are probably trying to make the same exact pivot. They're trying to go from resi investments, maybe SFR, single family, into their first 20 unit or their first 40 unit or their first 14 unit. So tell us a bit more about your transition.
Yeah, I mean, we knew real estate was always an avenue we wanted to explore. And, you know, the barriers to entry were the cash and the resources to be able to get in. And so we pulled some equity out of our home and bought a total of 6 units and kind of did the work ourselves and sweat equity and then built that up and got a good rapport in the market and a good strong brand with the banks. And we just continued to know that, you know, although we weren't taking down a 20 or 30 or 40 unit, we were buying in an area that, you know, we could get 30 or 40 units total within, you know, 6 month period, all within the same block or within a couple blocks. So we've seen a lot of gentrification with that. And then and that also allowed us to showcase our talents and what we're able to do, and then also bringing in some outside investors. And then that's when we were really truly able to scale, because I sat back and reflected a few years ago, and we had 40 deals that closed within a 2-year period of time, and the average unit per close was 4 units. And I said, well, if I do another 20 closings in the next year or two, and I average 15, 20, 30 units per closing, that's where you're going to make generational wealth and be able to really set up your family and your generations to come.
Got it. What did you learn, George, by doing those smaller deals? What are some of the things that you think on the smaller deals, the 4 units, the 8 unit, the 10 unit deals, the 2 unit deals, that still applies to the larger deals, even though, you know, you are getting bigger, you're making offers on larger portfolios now? What are some of the lessons that you learned from the smaller things that you think transitions regardless of the size of the deal?
Yeah, I mean, you can't do it yourself. That's one of the biggest things. You need to align yourself with other like-minded individuals that have the same vision and passion for real estate. And don't bring everybody in. If you're a strong underwriter, don't bring in 3 other people that are strong underwriters. Bring other people that have different skill sets and areas of expertise, because that's really how you can truly grow and scale. And right now, I don't even look at underwriting. One of my partners does that. I really look at the asset itself and the, you know, the structural integrity of the building, what the CapEx is going to look like to improve it, all those sorts of things. So really, if you want to do this by yourself, you're never really going to get to the point where you're going to have 1,000 plus doors. And if you're okay with that, that's fine. But identify that's your business plan and stick to it. Whereas if you want to really grow and you want to grow with good people and you don't mind having a beer with somebody, but you don't want to get in a deal with anybody that you can't necessarily have a good conversation with. I tell everybody all the time, don't be in a hurry to get into a partnership, because it's like a marriage. It's very easy and very, you know, to get into it, but it's extremely expensive to get out of it.
Yeah.
So align yourself with the right, you know, like-minded people, and you'll have a good time.
I like good partnerships, and I like beer. So
yeah,
we're on the right path there.
Yeah.
So George, from your perspective, again, you have somebody else focused on underwriting. You're focused more on the asset. Describe to our audience a little bit, who are some of the players? Like, who are the people, not necessarily the people, but what are the positions, in your opinion, in a successful partnership in commercial multifamily that need, where you have to have somebody sitting, whether it's property management, CapEx, et cetera? What are some of the key positions in your mind that if you're not going to do it all, people that you have to align yourself with, and what do they need to be the expert at to make sure that you're covering all your bases?
Obviously, you need to have strong legal, strong accounting, someone that has underwriting experience, someone that's a good networker, someone that can go out there, find deals, find other investors that want to, you know, be part of the, you know, get part of the deal. Someone that's an extrovert, and it's okay to have a couple introverts in the deal. Someone that has strong background in construction and CapEx, property management. But it's a nice thing too. And you know, I say those things, there's 6 to 8 different skill sets there. You don't have to have 8 people in as part of a partnership. You can say you could have 2 or 3 that have a general understanding of all those, but then you farm that out, you contract that out with strong people that you trust. So that's one thing that, you know, a couple of partners of mine, they form partnerships and it was 8 people. It's tough to get a lot of things done when there's 8 people that are all equal leaders within a group. You want to have a nice core group that all have similar knowledge, but also know what they know and know what they don't know. And then you hire, contract that out to make sure you can, you know, fulfill, you know, the obligation of that LLC and that property.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, in our business, I handle all the cap raise. I've got some partners that do it kind of as a side hustle, but it's my job. It's my responsibility. I also handle all the underwriting because I want to make sure that the deals that we're buying, that they've got my stamp of approval. I'm the CEO. I'm the majority shareholder. If we're signing on any kind of bridge debt, we're have to personally guarantee it. That's my ass that's on the line. So I want to make sure. So those are the two things that I do. And then my partner, Tyler, really focuses on acquisitions. He's networking with brokers, networking with wholesalers, looking at off-market deals, looking at student partnership deals that we have, as well as direct-to-seller deals for acquisitions. But then he also is basically the asset manager who oversees our property managers. We use third-party property managers for everything. And we self-managed for a while, but that's Tyler's swim lane. And then Glenn's swim lane for us. Glenn is really our chief strategy officer. He oversees our CapEx division. So he sits above our VP of construction. But Glenn's also a numbers geek, like an AppFolio, P&L, you know, balance sheet, what's going on with CapEx, where are we spending our money, looking for blind spots and things like that. And then, like you said, George, we farm out our CPA and our CFO. CFO is not a partner, but he does have some equity in a few deals, but he's not a major partner. And he's really a silent partner, but he's our CFO, handles all the marketing. I mean, all the accounting. And then we've got, you know, separate staff for marketing, separate staff for operations that are just staff, right? That are not partners. So I agree with you on that, man. It's just about finding what makes works for you.
Right.
George, help us understand, like, so your first couple of multifamilies that you guys did, where you guys kind of caught the itch. You're like, real estate's the thing. I love this just as much or more than my regular day job. What did that look like for you? Like, when did you catch the itch and really find some passion for real estate? And what were your first couple deals like?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the normal 80-20, you know, from a loan perspective. And, you know, and yeah, again, we bought things in a distressed manner and we went in and did a lot of work. I have a construction background. I was a foreman for a large construction company. So again, called in a lot of favors and did a lot of the work ourselves. But, and then just from there, I liked seeing the finished product, one, that you know you're adding value to this asset. And the thing that I always really enjoyed was the people, that you're now able to make a difference and provide a really nice housing to these individuals. And it's, and at the same breath, make a good bit of money off of it. Mm-hmm. And now that's continued year after year. Now we've only been doing this for 5 years. And you start with a couple units. Now we're, you know, just shy of 400 while we're still working W-2 and raising a family of four. Mm-hmm. One of the things I love now is we're doing a lot of third party and bringing other investors in. And they're telling us stories on now they don't have to work as hard. They don't have to have a second job. And they're able to now focus on their family and focus on their major career, knowing that they're working with us. They know the integrity we have, where they see the results. And now they just continue to come back, refer family. And it's just really expedited our growth in the last 18 months. So seeing that and hearing those testimonials of how we're changing other people's lives while still maintaining having a strong asset that we're taking care of, but then also providing great housing for individuals.
Are you ready to automate and explode your real estate investing? We're searching for extremely motivated individuals who are sick and tired of wasting time and want to finally see real results from their real estate investing business. We're searching for investors looking to get to the next level and become a bigger, better version of themselves while being a more successful real estate investing entrepreneur. Apply for mentoring and coaching at joshcantwellcoaching.com/podcast. That's joshcantwellcoaching.com/podcast.
Nice. Love it. George, describe for us a recent deal, like pick up either a duplex or a fourplex or a 20 unit. What does it look like for you? How do you guys structure it? How do you fund it? How do you syndicate it if you're syndicating with other investors? You know, what's your all-in number and what do you think it's going to stabilize out at? Maybe just pick a deal and sure, kind of walk us through that entire deal, how you acquired it, what it's going to stabilize out at, the income, structure, partnership. Yeah. Take us through one of your most recent favorites.
Yeah, one recently that we, back in 18, we had a 5-year under contract. The owners were, you know, in pretty rough shape. They, you know, had deferred taxes and, you know, they were in a pretty rough financial spot. We had this 5-year under contract. It was the first JV deal that we had. Everything else, my wife and I were buying with our own cash, brought this partnership in. I have a philosophy. It's better to have a percentage of something than 100% of nothing. So I brought some partners in. As we were going through that sale, that purchase, the sellers reached out, hey, we have a 16 unit. We bought a, and they wanted to sell. So we bought the 16 unit off market for $600,000. My father and I bought it, rents were around $550,000. We stabilized it, put about $100,000 into it. It appraised a year and a half later for $1.3 million.
Nice.
And it's solid. Our average rents there are $875,000. You know, it's a cash cow for us. It provides him, you know, at 62 years old, retirement income for as long as he needs. And it's a legacy gift from him to our kids, which is great. A very similar concept. We have a 13 unit right across from our office under contract, $500,000. We're doing seller financing on 100,000 of it. We're going to get a bank note for 80-20, a promissory note after the fact. So essentially we're getting into this deal without any out of pocket, you know, cash, which is great. Nice. Rents are 6.25. The rents are going to go up to $850 without having to put any CapEx in. So that'll be a screaming deal. We'll refinance that out. And then we have a 21 unit on the contract that we're actually buying the LLC versus buying the physical property because we're trying to be mindful of the tax changes that would happen if you would buy the physical property versus buying the LLC.
Yeah,
so a couple smaller multis we've kind of navigated through. One, a good case statement of what can be done. We did a cash out refi on that. We got all of our money back from the improvements and the money to close, and then other things that we're finding off market and creative ways to get it done without having to put a lot of cash in or increase your expenses.
Nice. I love it. Love it. George, along the way with these smaller multis, which, by the way, I love it. I've got a real close friend of mine. His name is Jack. We've got 164 unit together, but Jack also has a bunch of 20 units and 25 units and 35 units and 16 units and littler properties that have built up his portfolio now to the point where he can easily buy 100 unit or 200 unit on his own. But he started very, very similar to what you did. I'm curious, now that you've done a number of those smaller deals, what are some of the good decisions that you think you made? What were some of the positive things that have come out of that? And then after you answer that question, I'll ask you, what are some things that you learned, some challenges that you faced, or some things you do different? So let's start with the good news. Like, what are some of the positives? What are some of the lessons from the smaller deals, again, that you think worked well that will translate into some of these larger deals as you do those?
Yeah, I mean, the smaller deals in that, that we form these relationships with, other investors that are like-minded, that we all have a similar vision of what we were looking for and how we wanted to impact our family and our portfolio. And we all just divide and conquer. We keep a shared Google Doc that we all assign to each other, all have tasks. We'll probably have 8 to 10 of those and over 150 units closed by the end of this year. If it was just me, I'd probably have 25.
Right.
And, you bring as many people to the table. Don't get too many people in the deal. No dead weight. Everybody takes an equal share. But I wish I would have done that 5 years ago.
Nice.
But in the last 18 months, it's really opened my eyes that I really like the group we're working with. We're adding a few people here and there, depending on the deal, depending if they're interested in X, Y, and Z, the locations. So I would say, the biggest thing is just the relationships and the partnerships we've built, because we're just scratching the surface of what we're going to be attacking here in the near future.
Got it. Love it. What have been some challenges? Has there been some things that stand out? You're like, man, we hit a brick wall on that one. Or, man, I really got my teeth kicked in here, but we learned a lot. Everybody has kind of a deal or two like that. Tell us about some of the lessons you've learned.
Yeah, I would say two things early on. It was, we raised the money to bring the property to close and, maybe a couple bucks for CapEx, and we didn't raise all the money for CapEx. We were going to subsidize the CapEx for the operations. And, that doesn't necessarily happen, because you get in and something happens that you didn't anticipate for. So we were pulling a lot of our personal resources and doing cash calls with the other investors. Luckily, we either family members or close friends, so that wasn't as uncomfortable. But as we work with folks we don't have a relationship that close with, we're going to want to make sure we do our due diligence and make sure not only the cash to close, but also the cash to fund all the capital improvements is raised up in front. And the other thing is too, we just started doing off market, cold calling and skip tracing in the last 6 months. And if we would have done that 3 years ago, we could have bought 4 or 5 times what we're currently getting. We just lost a 36 unit. We 1.7 was the offer, 1.6 was the list price, and the winning bid was 1.8. There's a lot of, big firms and agencies out of the Pittsburgh market. We're based out of the Western PA market. We're seeing a lot of larger corporations are coming in, and they have the money to throw at it because it still makes sense that 1.8, 1.9, even 2. And so if we would have got to those sellers before it hit the MLS, it would have been, or a broker's hands, we would have done much better.
Nice. So
we're kicking ourselves for not focusing on those larger assets and then some of the smaller multis.
Got it. Is there any pointers, George, that you would give our audience regarding doing that direct-to-seller marketing? What's worked for you guys regarding the cold calling, maybe doing some mailers, you know, looking for rent signs or for sale signs or signs of distress to go direct-to-seller?
Yeah, I think, you know, you get a good database of those properties. We're searching the larger parcels. We're able to look things up by the parcels and the multis and then the years of ownership. And you're able to typically find those and make those calls. And know, just because, don't get discouraged, know that just because they're not returning your call right away, they haven't. The six deals that we've done off market, four of them called us back months after we had the initial conversation. People, if you are out of the area, make sure you have a local phone number, so that, because a lot of people won't answer from out of area and the phone number. That's one thing that a lot of people have said, that they've identified us as a local investor, and they really wanted to sell with somebody local versus somebody, you know, outside of the area. And again, just be ready to capitalize. Make sure you have the capital raised and you're ready to pull the trigger, because you can't go in and act like a big player and get these things on a contract and not be able to have the resources. Yeah. And that's one thing I made sure, as we were getting a lot of these things on a contract, making all these calls, saying, listen, this is great that we're getting these things on a contract, but we need to make sure that we have the ability to get these things closed and get them financed.
Yeah. Yeah. I got involved in a huge deal, a $70 million deal. It's got $100 million stabilized value, 552 units in Houston, because my buddy Shane, who's one of my partners, was way short of money about a week before closing, called me with 8 days left after his third extension, and was about to lose $650,000 in earnest money. And was like, dude, I'm short. I'm like, all right, dude. So raised $1.5 million within 8 days, and we got it across the goal line. So
that's great.
I don't like those situations, but, you know, and deals can still get done at the last minute, which we've proven, but certainly makes things uncomfortable for everyone. But absolutely, yeah. I mean, making sure they have the cash to close early, kind of soft commitments from investors early. And then when you have that deal, you know, you're in the underwriting phase, underwrite, make the offer, got some soft commitments already, or some people warmed up. And then once you get through due diligence, while you're doing due diligence, that 30 days is the best time to really warm up all the investors, do a webinar and have people, you know, committed. Because once your 30 days is up and your money goes hard, you want to know that you have a very high likelihood of recruiting all the capital to close. That's how we typically do it. Awesome stuff. So, George, I'm curious, you know, before we were getting ready to, you know, turn the record button on, you had mentioned that you recently moved to Florida, and under the concept or the philosophy of, you know, live where you want to live and invest where it makes sense. Tell our audience a little bit more about that and how you've pulled that off in your business and your personal life.
Yeah. So we, my wife and I both, you know, had, you know, executive level positions, W-2, you know, earners, and we knew eventually we'd like to be able to relocate our family to Florida. We have some family here on the Atlantic side, and we came down and we knew we were close to be able to do that. And but initially we thought it was going to be, you know, a vacation rental and Airbnb, and then come down and stay in our own place. And we got to the point where I knew I was able to retire, and I said, you know what, I think I'm leaving a lot of money on the table by not, you know, being full-time real estate professional. And so we pulled the trigger, and we identified Tampa, Jacksonville, and Orlando as the markets, obviously because they're high, you know, strong markets for investing. Wanted to be somewhat close to those regions, and also have the ability to jump back and get up to Western PA quickly on a, you know, nonstop flight. And we decided, based on how we were performing as a property management company, and but also our portfolio, that we were going to do it. And she was going to work remote, and I was going to do the same. And we knew we had a strong team already in place up in PA, and we did it. You know, the kids are all in elementary school, and it's been just the best. It's a game changer, and all the stressors you have in your life, and to be able to walk out the front door and get to the beach within 51 steps. It's a game changer. It really is.
51 exactly.
That's it, man.
You right paced it off driveway. More than once. I can tell.
Yeah.
51 steps to the beach.
So it just set a goal. I had a screensaver on my phone of our myself and our kids when they're a little bit younger, and up in New Jersey. We go there every year for vacation, and it was just to remind me every morning why I'm getting up, why I'm hustling, why I'm working at midnight, why am I doing these things on a Saturday? It's because wanted a different life for our family. And now I changed that screensaver because I've accomplished it. Now I have something else on the screensaver.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm interested to see what's on the screensaver next. maybe something else a little bit more, even more exotic, which is fantastic. Good for you, man.
Yeah.
So George, help me understand like the first deal. Let's go back now a little bit further to your start. You know, you had a W-2 job. You got the itch for real estate. Like, what's the first deal look like? It's probably a little bit nerve-wracking getting into the game, but you knew that real estate offered a lot as far as appreciation, depreciation, cash flow, equity, blah, blah, blah. What really got you into it? What was your passion for it? What was your draw to it? And what was the first deal like?
Yeah, the first deal was, you know, I talked to the realtor who I really liked. She was, you know, a young real estate agent, and she hustled for us to find us our you know, family home. And told her what I was looking at, looked at an off-market deal, and it was pretty distressed. It was a 3-unit. And she's like, and we sat down, she talked about goals, identified what we were looking for, what kind of cash we had to be able to get into the market. And she found us an off-market deal that, you know, was again a little rough, but it had a stabilized tenant on the one side and the other side needed some work. So I knew, hey, at least I have the cash flow on the one side to cover the note while I fix up the other side, and then I can stabilize and go back and forth. So that's pretty much the model we've had. You buy a place, make sure it's occupied, so you have the cash flow to come in to pay your note, use our personal resources to fix up the other side, reestablish the market, and then either ask that tenant to bump over to the finished side or let them know that we're going to raise our rents 20%, probably 20% below what market should be. But hey, we need to get to you to this point. You're more than welcome to stay or move over to the other side. And we've pretty much rinsed and repeated that up until, you know, a few years ago, following the Burr method. But hell, I didn't even know what the Burr method was. That was just something I was doing.
Yeah.
And then what we did is we Yeah. Yeah. You refinanced it out, got lines of credit, the bank seen what we were doing, to take the banks into the properties and show them what we were doing, send them pictures, send them testimonials. And then they just really fell in love with it. So a lot of the banks were doing 80-20 closing. They would give me a line of credit based on the improved value. A lot of times then I was using that line of credit for funds to close on the deal, but you weren't able to do that if you had a strong presence and strong relationship with that bank. And they've seen results.
Nice. Love it. So George, now that you've had, you know, success, 400 units, you guys are still growing. You're living in an amazing place, 51 steps exactly from the beach, and have a portfolio. I love the idea of, you know, the Pittsburgh portfolio or the Pennsylvania portfolio. We're from Cleveland and love the Midwest. But, you know, for a lot of people, it's like, wow, George has made it. You know, when you think about that and you look back at your younger former self or look and talk to some of our audience, who's maybe not quite reached the levels that you're at, what kind of advice would you give to younger George? What kind of advice would you say, hey, man, this is what you got to do. And this is a couple of mistakes that I made along the way. Don't do this. In your journey, what would you kind of say to your younger former self?
You definitely start earlier. There was a mentor of mine, you know, that very first duplex I had bought, he had a 5-unit down the road. I went as a secret shopper to see what market was, what the competition looked like. 6 months later, after I did that, I reached back out and let him know, hey, listen, I was actually just coming to check out the building. And he goes, I understand that. He goes, I was your age once too. And I said, I asked him that question. If there's one thing you would have done differently, he looked at me before I even finished my sentence. He goes, I would have started earlier and I would have bought more. And that right then just lit a fire. And then since then, and that's what I tell everybody, start as early as you can. Make sure you get educated first. And if you do bring people on, make sure those people are people that you trust and people that you want to be in a relationship with again, because partnerships are easy to get into, but extremely hard and challenging to get out of.
Yep.
Be mindful of working with family, because there's always challenges with that.
Yeah.
And make sure you have a strong operating agreement if you do get, you know, in bed with family. And then two, you know, in 2019, started investing in myself from a professional development standpoint and really learned. And from that point, we've grown by 3 times. Mm-hmm. And it's because, you know, I was just doing things myself. And now I got to that point where it takes more than just myself to do it. And getting into some of the bigger deals is, you know, really opened my eyes. And it's networking. So network, 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 build relationships, make sure you save that information so you can reach back out, continue to engage those people you've met. Don't just go get business cards at a conference and never reach out to people.
Yeah.
We've all been there. We've all done that. It's continue to develop a relationship because they're lasting relationships. that you, your kids end up hanging out together. They bring you deals when they don't even need to. I have a 51 unit on the contract. It's a screaming 3-to-1 ratio from a cash flow standpoint. I could have taken it down myself, but I brought in two partners because I knew I wanted them to be part of it because I knew that that would pay for itself tenfold. The one just got brought that 97 RV park in, and then we got another 100 units with the other individual. So bring people into a deal because they'll bring you tons of deals on the flip side too.
In my newest real estate investing book, The Flip System, you'll learn the proven secrets and strategies that I've used to be a successful real estate investor. You'll also hear the story of my journey from quitting my job to doing over 2,000 units of apartments. The Flip System is now available for a limited time, and you can grab your free copy at getflipsystem.com/podcast. You'll learn the same proven principles and secrets and investing strategies that I used to quit my job and pursue a life of financial freedom. In this book, I'm sharing exactly how I was able to personally close over 750 profitable real estate deals, make over 400 private lender loans, raise over $30 million, and acquire over 2,000 units of cash flowing apartments. Get my newest book now for free at getflipsystem.com/podcast. That's getflipsystem.com/podcast.
Love it. So George, we always wrap up with our guests with the final five, we call it. Five quick questions, five fast answers. Are you ready for these?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. So your favorite way to find deals?
Off market.
How off market? Like through what channel?
Cold calling.
Perfect. Love it. Favorite way to find capital for deals or fill up your capital stack?
Just relationship. Continue to build relationships.
Got it. What's your favorite thing about moving to Florida and being 51 steps away from the beach?
To see my kids in the ocean just about every day.
Oh, that's kick ass, man. What's your favorite piece of advice that you've ever been given?
Work smarter, not harder.
Love it. And when you want to get away from the business, get away from the hectic side of life and being a dad and, you know, being in business with your father, or just, you know, where do you go? What do you do to decompress, to recharge, and to think?
I just do whatever my kids want to do for the most part, whether it's go to the arcade, ride bikes, take them and do drills. You know, our oldest that's here with us is 9 years old, and we were out doing drills, basketball. And I remember being a basketball, you know, a kid playing ball as well, and a basketball coach. I noticed your shirt there as well, because I'm the coach.
Because I'm the coach, that's why.
That's exactly what I said to him the other day. Why do I got to practice with my left hand, Dad? Because I said so, because I'm the coach.
Yeah.
But just engulfing myself, because again, we've all been there, W-2, working. Were we really engaged with our kids while we're thinking about all these other things? So now I have the ability to, I can work and I grind, but when it's time for the kids, I can decompress and just focus on them 100% and not think about anything else. I work when I want and I play when I want.
Yeah. You're probably just like me, like when you're actually doing something you really enjoy, like being a family man and playing with your kids, probably when you have some of your very best business ideas, because you're not even thinking about business, right? So your mind's free to float. And as you're playing with your kids and all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, that idea just pops in.
Yep.
And you like maybe take a quick note on your phone or something and then go back to playing with the kids and engaging with them. So a couple more questions, George. This is a fun interview. What do you think is the best decision you've ever made?
Getting into real estate and marrying my wife. What do you
think? Yes. Oh yeah. And I'm married. I was just kidding. Getting into real estate, getting married. And what do you think is maybe one of the biggest mistakes that you've made or one of the decisions that didn't go your direction, your way?
Didn't start early enough. You know, I think we bought our first deal 36.
Okay.
You know, and you know, we have a young man who's our, you know, works with us in our property management company. And at 22 years old, he was part of a 3-unit deal. And I told him that same mistake. I wish I would have done this earlier. I want you to be able to retire when you're in your 40s and then do what you want.
Yeah. Love it. Fantastic stuff, George. Listen, so people can reach you if they want to reach out, go to progressivepropertyinvestments.com. George, any other place or way that our audience can engage with you if they want to reach out?
Yeah, we're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. You know, that's our property management site. We, you know, but the biggest thing is we want to be able to, you know, tell our story, learn about what your listeners' goals are. And if we can help, again, we're a little bit smaller, trying to get into the smaller multis and some of the larger deals. But if there's any way I can provide value to your listeners, I'd be happy to spend time with them and talk about their goals and how we can maybe help them.
That sounds great, George. Thanks so much for joining us today on Accelerated Real Estate Investor.
Thanks for having us.
So there you have it, guys. I hope you enjoyed that interview with George from ProgressivePropertyInvestments.com. I had a blast. He's such a fun, like you could tell, like fun-loving, family man, good time. I enjoyed that, getting to know George a little bit better. I wouldn't be surprised if George and I don't JV on a deal or do a deal together sometime soon in the Pittsburgh market. It's just about 2 to 2.5 hours from my market. So George and I are, you know, in touch and communicating about some possible deals. Looking forward to that. Also, I did want to announce that we are about to have our next Forever Passive Income Mastermind. It's a face-to-face mastermind. We do it 3 times a year. That is coming up here in about 2 months. That's officially been scheduled in about 2 months from now. We will be having our next Forever Passive Income Mastermind. That mastermind is a coaching program and a mastermind group and a partnership program where I partner with students. We do student partnership deals, all in the multifamily and apartment space. If you are interested in learning more about that and applying to be a member of the Forever Passive Income Mastermind program, go to SRECmastermind.com/RSVP. SREC stands for my company, Strategic Real Estate Coach. SRECmastermind.com/RSVP. There you can apply, get on the phone with my team, see if you're fit for the program, and get enrolled. It is not cheap. It is also very much worth it. If you'd like to come to our next face-to-face mastermind and meet up with me face-to-face, go there, apply. I hope you get accepted into the program, and we'll see you at our next mastermind. Also, don't forget to subscribe. We release new podcasts weekly. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you'd never miss another episode, and we'll see you next time on Accelerated Real Estate Investor. Take care.
Hey, Josh here, and do you want to win a free Accelerated Investor t-shirt? All you have to do is give Accelerated Investor, our podcast, Accelerated Investor, a rating and a review on iTunes, okay? Do that now. Then send us a screenshot on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. What we're gonna do then is every week we're gonna pick our favorite rating and review, and we're gonna send that person a free t-shirt and maybe, again, some other cool, fun stuff as well from Accelerated Investors. So, again, don't forget to take a screenshot. Leave a rating, review, take a screenshot, send it to us so we know exactly who you are. And then once a week, every week on the podcast, we will announce a new winner. Don't forget to take a screenshot and send it to us so we know exactly who you are. We'll announce a new winner every week.
You were just listening to the Accelerated Investor Podcast with Josh Cantwell. If you enjoyed this episode and learned something new, help us build the AI community by leaving a review and 5-star rating on our iTunes podcast channel. Also, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss another episode. To see passive investing opportunities, visit freelandventures.com/passive. To start your journey toward the lifestyle you've always dreamed of with multifamily apartments, apply for one-on-one coaching with Josh at www.joshcantwellcoaching.com.